Do you carry pain from a previous or existing relationship? Perhaps it's a friend, a family member, or a partner, or an ex who's hurt you and you just can't seem to get over it. My next guest believes we can work with the relationships that are troubling us to heal ourselves. He's Dr. Jonathan Andrews. He's a clinical psychologist who works with adults, helping them overcome depression and anxiety. And for the record, he's just written a book called The Reconnected Heart, How Relationships Help Us Heal. Dr. Andrews, thanks for coming on this afternoon.
Steve, thanks for having me.
Tell me about the connection that is made when people smile or make eye contact.
Yeah, well, 50% of what you've just shared is now compromised because we walk into a cafe and, of course, most of us have masks on at the moment. So we're at a bit of a loss. What happens, I think, is a profound soothing. We have this unrecognised power that we all have and we all possess, and we take it around with us, a bit like a bag of luggage. And you can really do good to people by smiling at them and by having eye contact with them. It soothes people in profound ways.
It soothes people. In what ways? Why does simply making eye contact with someone soothe people?
I think it's that's one aspect of the connection process, which is, of course, a binding of one person to another. And it hits us at a level that sort of is quite deep, and then this impact flows centrifugally out from us. It hits it impacts on our body, and it impacts on our brain, and it impacts on our behaviour, and it impacts on our mood, all in positive ways. It's really just quite profound.
My introduction mentioned that pain from previous, or for that matter, existing relationships where someone's been hurt and you have difficulty getting over it. You believe that we can work with the relationships that are troubling us to heal ourselves. How?
The reason why you can do that is what goes right in the present is much more important than what's gone wrong in the past, I think. So at one time in the book, I mentioned this study called the Harvard Grant Study, which is one of the longest running psychological studies. It started in 1938, and they had 200 boys at Harvard, and they followed them for the rest of their lives doing physical examinations and psychological examinations every 2 years. And what they found is they found two things. One is that warm relationships when you're young are a lifelong source of strength. And the people who have had those relationships know that full well. But what's interesting is they tracked one guy whose name was Daniel Garrick. And when he got to the age of 40, he was described as being, and this is a quote, mediocre and without imagination. Now, he had very cold parenting when he was little from his caregiver. And he just flattened out in his middle years. But when he got to his middle years, he started taking more risks with theatre production and with his career and in his relationships. And by the time he got to age 80, he scored the highest possible mood score you could get.
And so he redeemed himself. So what does this reveal? How did he redeem himself?
Well, curiously, he says at the age of 86, he was speaking to a researcher, and he confessed that he was actually only on one prescribed medication, Viagra.
And noted.
Then he boasted as needed twice a week.
Right.
Now, I don't know whether good connection leads to Viagra-type activities or Viagra-type activities leads to good connections, probably both. But you can see here, here's a man that really flourished towards the end of his life in spite of the way things were set up for him.
So this is your point, despite our troubled past or relationships, we can heal themselves. So you said what goes right in the present
and is much more important than what has gone wrong in the past.
Is much more important than what's gone wrong in the past.
Yeah.
So let me come back to the question of how. I mean, I know a lot of people, there's a lot of people I know that have been damaged through previous relationships. They're carrying some hurt. And sometimes it's been there for decades.
Mm.
So how do you heal from that hurt of, say, a past relationship?
Yeah. Well, for many of us, we just can't move forward without first going back. There are many people, and sometimes, you know, prime ministers have been known for saying this sort of stuff, that, you know, we're just going to move forward. But many of the people who say that sort of thing don't realise how profound, you know, psychological pain can be that's been caused by previous relationships. So what a lot of us need to do is we need to go back before we go forward. But the curious thing that happens when we go back is that we end up talking. If we get this right, if we do our own little bit of social engineering, we end up talking about the previous hurts to someone who is attentive, to someone who cares, to someone with whom we feel safe. And you can see there that that's the ingredient. One thing, you can't pull out an old memory and put it back in exactly the same way. And if you pull out an old memory and then you're talking to someone else about these old hurts, but at the same time the person who you're talking to is connected with you, loves you, makes you feel safe, then that's the tainting that's going to occur to that old memory.
My guest is Dr. Jonathan Andrews. He's a clinical psychologist who works here in Queensland with adults, helping them overcome depression and anxiety. He's also written a book called The Reconnected Heart, How Relationships Can Help Us Heal. It's 21 past six. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. Steve Austin's my name. How does proximity work in relationships?
Yeah, what a great question. I think it works in three ways, and behavioural psychologists often use these sort of indicators: frequency, intensity, and duration. So you have there's high proximity where you come across someone frequently. There's high proximity where you share intense things like the secrets of your heart. And there's going to be high proximity when you see people for, you know, not a brief amount of time, for long periods of time.
So what's the risk of a high proximity, low safety relationship, Jonathan Andrews?
Yeah, this is a mismatch. This is a serious mismatch, because the only match for relationships where there's high proximity, and it would include all families, that would include all close working relationships, partnerships at work, that sort of stuff. But the only match that will underwrite the longevity of that sort of closeness is a respectful, empathic, considerate, safe sort of relationship. And you can see it's going to immediately, you know, if there's a mismatch, it just won't last.
What do you do if you can't change proximity?
Yeah. Oh, well, these are key ingredients, aren't they? Sometimes when it's really serious, you need to seek out expert advice because it can be a volatile situation. So if it's serious and volatile, the best thing to do is don't make any sudden movements, but go and speak to your GP and talk to them about your situation.
All right.
But there is a potential at other times for it to be remedied. And in those sort of circumstances, it's about acquiring a skill where you can face someone. You don't fake that everything's fine. You don't flee from the situation. You don't fight them on it, but you face it. You face them. You say, hey, I'd like this relationship to improve. I'm keen for it to be long-lasting. Can we talk about the way that we relate to each other?
Okay. What's the pyramid of support?
This is a good one as well. Those sort of criteria that we just spoke about, that would be, you know, that they're safe, that they're respectful, that they're empathic. Those are the people that you want to have close to you. So these are the people. This is the admission criteria for the four bottom points of the pyramid. Are they safe? Are they respectful? Do they care? That sort of thing. And if they have those qualities, then they can become part of the base of that pyramid. But the same inclusion criteria is the same exclusion criteria, which is if they're not safe, if they're not respectful, if they're not empathic, then they probably shouldn't be that close to you.
Okay.
Now, this includes, of course, there's a vertical aspect in the pyramid. There are a lot of people, and this came out in the McCrindle research last week, didn't it? Australians are a diverse bunch in many, many ways, and that includes spiritually. So many of us have beliefs in souls and afterlives, and many people find a benefit in connecting with a God who cares for them, who loves them, and who respects them. It's not for everyone, and I don't want to prescribe it for everyone, but it's certainly a source of strength for those who do believe, and that's a good way to, you know, gain an extra connection and consolidate, you know, the closeness that you feel both spiritually but also relationally.
So that goes against the sort of the scientific materialist argument. So your argument is that for many, belief in God actually strengthens, not weakens.
Yeah, because the relationships that we've been through, they can end up, you know, hurting us in quite profound ways. There's, in the book, I talk about there are the connection injuries, and these involve things like worthlessness, a sense of betrayal, a sense of being ashamed, and a sense of alienation. But if we get, if we do a little bit of social engineering, and we're close to people who are respectful and warm, and if for those people who are so inclined, if they cultivate spiritual beliefs with a God who cares for them, then it's of great benefit to them, and you can heal those old injuries. So you can turn worthlessness into feeling worthwhile, betrayal into feeling safe and feeling like you can trust, and shame into honour, and alienation into a sense of belonging. So the message I would want to convey to all the listeners is there's great hope for all of us.
I'll leave it there. Dr. Jonathan Andrews, thanks very much for your time.
Pleasure.
Dr. Jonathan Andrews is a clinical psychologist. He works with adults and deal with depression and anxiety. And he's also just released a book called The Reconnected Heart, How Relationships Can Help Us Heal.